While I was still teaching, I knew that I might want to start illustrating picture books. So I took a couple classes on Skillshare, just on like how to illustrate people, because that was something that just didn't feel natural to me right away. I think I was so used to drawing people realistically, and you kind of have to build up like a whole different like drawing vocabulary.
Yeah,
you know, to draw like eyes. There's like certain ways you can draw eyes or noses or heads. And so there was a lot of time spent. I thought that's like where I wanted to start.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of Tom Ray's Art Podcast. I'm Tom. On today's show, I meet a person who went to school first for printmaking and then decided they wanted to do illustration. And then a few years ago, decided that they wanted to write and illustrate children's books, like do it as a career. So they've started working on the project, finding the process to actually get a publisher, going through those processes. We talk about how they learned what they need to do, how they're going about what they need to do, and just really what it takes to make a children's book these days. So here's the interview starting right now.
My name is Evie Richner, and I am an artist and an author, and I'm currently trying to break into the field of picture books.
Okay. So
writing and illustrating picture books.
I was wondering if I saw that you were doing that, and I was wondering if you were writing as well. So we'll get to that in a minute. First of all, I'd like to know where are you located right now? You're here in Madison, correct?
Yeah, I am in Madison.
Okay. Are you from Madison?
No, I grew up in Florida, in Largo, Florida,
okay.
Near Tampa, near the beach. And after undergrad, I wanted to go to grad school, and I really wanted to go to one of my professors had gone to UW-Madison, and I didn't get in to the printmaking program, which is really competitive, and we had a visiting artist from Tandem Press. She was a curator there, which is the printmaking studio that's connected to the university, the professional printmaking studio. And I just I had never been to Madison, but I really wanted to move here.
Okay.
My professor had told me all about it. And I thought it'd be fun to try living somewhere besides Florida.
All right.
And so called up the artist who had been at our school and asked like, hey, could I come volunteer at Tandem? And she said, yeah, sure. Sounds great. And so I moved up here. I didn't know a single person. And
really?
I volunteered at the printmaking studio, and I worked at Lapham Elementary at the after school care program to make some
nice.
And yeah.
Okay.
I initially ended up in Madison, but then like since that initial move, I've also lived a number of other places, and we like came full circle back to here.
Okay. So what year was this that you first came to Madison?
2009.
Okay. So not that long ago. All right.
Yeah.
So you didn't get into the printmaking program, but you got to work at the Tandem Press Studio.
I got to work at Tandem. I applied to grad school a couple more years. Mm-hmm. I ended up deciding, I eventually did get into the program here, but I decided that I wanted to major in painting and drawing instead. And so I went back to my, where I went to undergrad in Florida, University of Florida. And I got my master's in painting and drawing there.
Okay. And I guess I didn't know about that switch. So tell me, what was the switch from printmaking to the illustration and drawing and all that? What made that switch?
Yeah, I really love printmaking, but I would often get really, like, I'd come up with these ideas that like were really technical and required a lot of process-oriented work. And I just realized that I really liked the immediacy of drawing and painting. So that was part.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, that was like kind of like part one. And part two was that I wanted to teach at the college level. And I knew that sometimes printmaking programs didn't always have the biggest enrollment, and sometimes they vanished from schools. And so Meaning and Drawing is at most schools. And so I thought that that would increase my chance of getting a job in academia.
Yeah, I feel like, and I guess maybe this is just my own personal opinion, but from my experience in school and going through the art programs, it does seem like when there is a program that involves some sort of process after the fact,
yeah,
it's very short-lived, whether it be in a lot of schools, ceramics, or for me, I was really into animation. They had one semester of an animation program, but they had to make film. We didn't have laptops and software back then. We had we had to do it on film. So it was one semester. We did one little like 30-second short, the entire class together, and that was it. And then it was gone.
Okay.
You know, yeah, things like that. So just like with print making, like you're right. I could see that going away instantly.
Yeah. I mean, and that was like my decision as like a 23-year-old. I don't know how informed that is. I do know that most schools have like one or two printmaking professors, whereas like often there's more painting and drawing. So it was kind of like partially just I was realizing my own personal preferences that I like I don't like there to be a bunch of extra steps.
Okay.
In between, like when I'm making stuff, and then part of it was just like practical career stuff. Yeah.
And while you were doing these, what was your style like? Was your style similar to what you still do today, or?
Well, I have like a couple of different parts on my website. So my style was, let's see. I kind of was making stuff that looked more illustrated initially, like in undergrad. And then in between undergrad and grad school. And then in grad school, I got a lot more conceptual. And I think that was partially just kind of general interest and then partially kind of how my program was structured and how professors were kind of funneling us towards. And so I like used all kinds of media. I like was drawing on top of old photos.
I saw those on your website. Those are neat.
Yeah, I did video, I did some sculptural stuff. After grad school, I did some like hand-drawn animations of like shadows that are you know, they're more abstract, yeah.
Okay.
So.
How were you doing those? Were you animating them in software or were you doing it the traditional way? Like how were you making
the animations? I was doing it the traditional way. So
really?
70 drawings of like I was like spending a lot of time inside because I had twin infants and I was like in my 100-year-old house. This was then in Portland, Oregon. And so I would like notice all the, you know, when certain times of year, especially when there's leaves on the trees, like there'd be these really cool shadows that would come in through the windows. And because it was really old glass, it was like really cool texture.
Okay.
And so I would take videos and then I would print out all the frames from the videos and use a light board so that I could get the like continuity of the shadow. Yeah.
Man. I mean, that sounds super cool, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, you really wanted to find something to do.
Yeah. You know, I think it was one thing that was nice was like it was like a perfect project for nap time was I could like bust out one of those drawings in like 30 minutes.
Okay.
And so it like, because my like art making process at that time was very sporadic, I could like sit down for a short amount of time and there wasn't like a lot of mental prep to get into it or get out of it. And I didn't have to think a lot about what I was going to do because I had already planned it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now with all those different types of work that you just mentioned, you do have a very specific style. Learning to talk over here. And how did you end up finding that style? How did you end up with the style that you draw today? And I guess I'm generalizing. I'm just saying, going by your Instagram post, you definitely have a specific style that goes to what you are leading up to do.
Yeah, I think I read a lot of picture books. And so I had like a pretty clear sense of what like art style and picture books I was attracted to.
Okay.
And so part of it was kind of like looking at that. And then like, I love detail. Like I love detail and texture and like getting really specific and all the little parts. So there's like often a lot going on in what I'm drawing too. But I think like in terms of like how I'm drawing people or stuff like that, it's just been like a lot of learning.
Mm.
Yeah. Cause
well,
I like
you've got some that are some drawings I've seen of yours that are things that I like to do too, where it's really just, it seems, well, at least this is what I do. So it seems like it to me, but you're sitting somewhere and you're looking out at a building and you're like, oh, I'm just going to draw that. You're not paying, you know, it's just like you're drawing the line and not really paying attention, but just doing the shapes of like, that's a fancy building and I want to draw that like a background. And I've seen a couple like that where it's just landscapes, but it's just a straight up line drawing. And then of course you do, is it watercolor or wash? I guess.
Yeah. I'm using watercolor and gouache a lot. And then sometimes ink or color pencil too.
Okay. Yeah. And so I guess what I, aside from that question, what I was originally getting at is that what you're doing? You're just sometimes you'll be somewhere and it's like, oh, I just drew this drawing. Or do you specifically go out to draw some of the landscapes you do? Because you do have a lot of, like you said, with detail, you have a lot of great landscapes in the stuff that you draw.
I don't sketch out and about a lot. Like that's just not, like, I think I'm a perfectionist, so I like sometimes have to draw something again and again and again to get it to look the way that I want it to. And I also like have never been a person who uses a sketchbook a lot. I'm not sure why.
Oh, what do you use?
I just draw on loose paper mostly.
Okay.
Like even when I'm doing sketches, there's just, I think, something about like, when I start my like rough sketches, I just do it on printer paper. I think it's just because it like doesn't feel precious. And like, if I don't like how it looks after like a couple of minutes, I don't have to erase. I could just move on to the next piece of paper.
Yeah.
So I like to go on walks a lot. And so I take pictures and I work from photographs. But yeah, most of the time I'm working at home. I have like a studio at home.
Okay. And I mean, basically I just draw on either a tablet or on my phone.
It's, yeah.
I used to draw on sketchbooks and I have a bunch of them and I will still draw on them. But yeah, I don't know. I can't remember a time when I didn't go, oh, I feel like drawing. I'm just going to grab my tablet and start drawing. And it's the same sort of way because it's like, whatever, if I don't like it, I don't have to save it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely, there's something, you can find some freedom in that, I think. I do have some sketchbooks. They're more like, I use them more to like jot down an idea in a sketch than to like draw from observation or do anything kind of finished work. So if I come up with an idea for an illustration, I'll do a quick sketch just to help me remember what my idea is.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm exactly the same way. I was just thinking like, what's in my sketchbooks? And I realized they're just me writing ideas for things I want to try. And then the best part is I don't see those notes until I'm looking for something to write on years later.
Yeah.
It's like putting on a winter coat.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look what I left in the pocket. That's funny. And so you went from doing this, doing it to go into teaching. And I guess what I really want to get to is the children's books. So I did not know when we started that you were wanting to write them as well. What was your first thought or thought process of this is what I want to try to do now? Like, when about did that happen and what made you decide that's what you wanted to do?
I think I've always been interested in storytelling and I've always loved books. Like, as a kid, I was like a huge bookworm. I loved reading chapter books. I also always loved picture books. My mom taught first and second grade her whole career. And so even when I was a teenager, I was surrounded by picture books because I'd often, you know, go to her classroom after school and be there while she was working. And my like very initial career path I wanted to do was animation. Because I went to Disney and I saw them hand drawing Mulan.
Oh, okay.
I was like, oh, that's what I want to do.
You went there?
Since I grew up in Florida.
Okay. Right.
Disney World, and like they had an animation studio at MGM, which is that what it's called now? Hollywood Studios. And you could tour it. I don't think that's not there anymore, but when I was a kid, it was.
Yeah, that's where they used to do like Nickelodeon programs and stuff too, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe that's not there. That might be Universal. Anyway, that's not important. Continue.
But and then when I was in high school was like the Pixar craze. And I initially thought maybe I wanted to do that, like computer animation. But then I just realized like I didn't want to be on the computer all the time. I like doing stuff with my hands. And so I think I probably would have gone into animation if it had been like 10 years earlier and it was going to be more traditionally based hand drawing. And so when I was in college, I think the first time that it dawned on me that I could write children's books was when I was getting my undergrad degree. One summer I worked shelving books in the children's section of a library.
Oh, okay.
And, there was never enough work to do. And they had these really weird specific rules. We weren't allowed to listen to music, but we also weren't allowed to help anyone. Like if someone asked for our help, we had to like direct them to one of the librarians.
So I immediately pictured it was going to be like, you just look at them and you just slowly back away.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But there was never enough work to do, like just reshelving. And so I would read books while I was working. Like I would, you know, every 10 minutes, like read a picture book. And I thought, wow, I think I would enjoy doing this. And after undergrad, when I was kind of trying to decide what I wanted to do, I think at that point I felt like I was always really good at drawing stuff from observation from like a young age. But I didn't feel as comfortable drawing illustrated stuff. Like I had some friends who were really good at doing like caricatures and like, you know, comics in high school. And I just didn't feel like that. I didn't feel comfortable doing that. Like it felt harder to me. And so I think after college, I was like, well, I don't know if I could do that. Like, I don't know if I could make illustrated picture books. And I also knew at that point that it's pretty competitive. And I was like, oh, I'll go into academia. That would be easier to get a job in. Spoiler, no. I did eventually get a teaching job in academia, but it took a while.
Right.
I think they're just, it seems like everything I'm interested in, there's just,
that's the way it always seems. I agree. Yeah. I'm thinking of the exact same thing over here, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I had a teaching job, in Tennessee, another place we lived. And then the pandemic happened. And we didn't want to be in Tennessee forever. And we really wished during the pandemic that we lived closer to family. And so, and I think just community, like in the time that I was in Madison, I had built up like a really rich community of friends. And I loved like the neighborhood that I lived in. And so, during the pandemic, I my husband and I decided, we're like, we really just want to move back to Madison. I think there was that moment too where it felt like, who knows how long this pandemic's going to go on.
Right, yeah.
In Tennessee, the town that we lived in, most of the time there wasn't a mask mandate. We just didn't feel safe or comfortable there. We didn't want to be there long term. But to move back here, I had to give up my academic teaching job.
Right.
And so I.
Wait, but during the pandemic, wouldn't you have been able to do it remotely?
Well, I mean, I did do it remotely, but I think it just felt like too overwhelming to move at that time.
Okay.
Plus, I went through a period of time where, I wasn't sure if I was going to leave that job or not. And there was every semester kind of a question of, are we going to be able to continue teaching online, or am I going
Right.
to have to teach in the classroom? So I decided this is the moment for me to pursue this other dream that I had of writing and illustrating picture books.
Okay.
And so since we've moved back to Madison, that's what I've been working on. And because it's kind of like a different style of art than what I was doing before, it's been taking a while just to kind of build up those skills and learn how to do all of that.
So, share with me the process in starting this project, in beginning this children's book. Was there experience you drew from, or were you just kind of trying it and seeing where it goes? How did this all begin when you did your first, when you first d dove into it? I almost said delved into it, dove into it. There we go.
I didn't have a lot of experience. I never, my, the classes I took in undergrad and grad school were a lot more focused on studio art and conceptual art, not like illustration. I didn't take any illustration classes.
Really?
No.
I find that surprising because you're a great
Oh,
illustrator.
thank
So,
you. Yeah, we didn't even have illustration classes at my undergraduate program. I think
okay.
maybe I would have taken a class if it had been offered. But while I was still teaching, I knew that I might want to start illustrating picture books. So I took a couple classes on Skillshare, just on how to illustrate people. Because that was something that just didn't feel natural to me right away. I think I was so used to drawing people realistically. And you kind of have to build up
Oh.
whole different drawing vocabulary.
Yeah.
You draw eyes. There's certain ways you can draw eyes or noses or heads. And so there was a lot of time spent. I thought that was where I wanted to start, was thinking about how to draw people. And so I did a couple just really
And you're
short.
saying illustrated people. That's funny. I usually see it as the opposite because for me, I could always do cartoony. And it was when I tried to draw realistic, which for some reason I was trying to be. And it's like, don't fight what you are. But I kept trying to be a realistic artist, and everything I drew looked like a cartoon version of a realistic person. You know?
Yeah, it is
And you were
really
going the
funny how
opposite direction.
different.
Interesting.
I
Okay.
think that was just like I said, my art program and what I felt like I was good at initially was drawing realistically. So I just had spent so much time doing that, that I wasn't used to simplifying it down to draw something that is more illustrated.
Okay.
My brain immediately wants to add in every detail and make it look like what it looks like. And so
Wow.
there's extra step in there when I'm illustrating where I have to think not just what I use a lot of reference photos to help me, but thinking through well, this could be anything. It doesn't, the reference photo is like a starting point,
Yeah.
not my end goal. So there's a lot more choices to make in between.
Right. Yeah.
How you're going to draw the person and what colors you're going to use. So it's been really fun. I actually enjoy it a lot more than the artwork I was making before. It's easier to get motivated to draw illustrations than it ever was the other stuff I was doing.
Okay. So what was the first? Because you still have to come up with the idea at this point too. So what was the first sort of process in creating your first children's book idea?
Well, I had written a couple, like just the manuscript part for picture books in undergrad. So I had like a couple ideas. So when I started kind of getting into this, my plan was I knew first I needed to learn how to illustrate and build up an illustration portfolio. And I knew that it would feel too overwhelming to do like a whole book at that point. Mm-hmm. So I started just doing individual pieces, inspired by, you know, things that my kids would do or places I would go.
Did you want to use a theme of characters? Speaking of using your kids as influences, like were you going, these are going to be the characters that I write all the books about? Or did you just kind of do it one at a time?
I did it, definitely did it one at a time. I use them sometimes. They love when I use them because they they think that it's going to like make them famous or something. I don't know.
Until they become teenagers and then it's a huge embarrassment. I'm not speaking from experience.
And then my first, I like have gone through this process. So like the way that my brain works, and other illustrators are different. So it's been really interesting to learn. But my brain is like, I need my story. And I like to get my like manuscript all ironed out first.
The smart way.
Well, I like.
I usually wing it and go, I'll figure out the story later. And that's never good. Let me just say that.
Yeah. Well, I have some friends who like will draw a bunch of illustrated stuff and then they can like pull a story out of that, which I think is cool too.
They're better than me.
But my brain just really wants there to be like a logical order. And so first story, and then I start doing like character design and then like rough sketches. Like kind of figuring out your layout for your book and your page turns and what's going to happen on every page. And then like refining those sketches. And then the last step is getting to do some of the final artwork. And since I'm pre-published, I haven't gotten a book deal yet or anything. Okay. Like I haven't gotten to the point where I've made a whole book like of all finished artwork.
Okay. So you're still in the process of working on a book is what you're saying.
Well, because how it works is all editors don't want you to make all your finished artwork first. They want to see your sketches because often it's a very collaborative process.
Okay.
So they might say like, hey, you know, that squirrel looks more like a mouse, or like, could you change the colors on this page? Or, you know, the kid in the story's 10, but that kid looks 6. And so there's like a lot of back and forth. So to get to the point where I would be publishing a book, like the first step is just having sketches for the whole book. Okay. And then just a couple examples of like the finished artwork.
Now, when you mention this, and I'm just curious because for me, I'm just a self-published guy. I self-publish musically and I self-publish mainly because I just want to do it when I feel like doing it. I'm not really looking to be published. So that comes from this area when I'm asking this. How are you finding this information about what publishers are looking for? And I mean, I really don't know. I've never really researched it. And I know when I talk to people who are publishing, whether it be comics or children's books, they all have knowledge of what publishers want or what you should or shouldn't do. And I've never asked, like, where are they hearing this from, I suppose. So I guess I am curious when you say that. Where are you getting that knowledge from?
I mean, I think I initially started by I would Google stuff. Okay. But SCBWI, which is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, has like a guide that they put out every year that has lots of helpful information if you're a member, but it's pretty affordable to be a member. They do conferences and there's stuff locally going on. as well as like bigger like regional and national conferences. I went to a conference in St. Paul last year. And that was super helpful because that was the first time that I got to hear agents and editors talk in person versus like reading stuff online. And that helped me kind of understand the process a lot more.
Makes sense. And then also you can interact and ask questions, I'm assuming, as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of authors did you meet there? What kind of inspiration did you get from that? Because that is a good opportunity.
The coolest thing that came out of that was that I met a couple other illustrators who are like in this exact same boat as me, who are like pre-published, trying to like make a career change and pursue this path. And I, at the conference, was like, hey, would you guys want to start a Zoom critique group? And so we meet every 2 weeks and mostly we just hang out and talk, but it's been really nice to have other people to ask questions.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was super helpful because kind of the traditional route to publishing a book, like with a big publishing company, is that you have to have an agent first.
I never understand, but I guess I kind of do. thinking of it, it's like, you know, just people cold emailing and somebody deciding like that day that they're going to make children's books. Okay, it makes more sense. Never mind. I talked myself into it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a gate for the big publishing. You know, the people have been vetted to a certain extent that the agents are representing. So, and I think a lot of agents have like a collaborative process with their clients too, because they might help you like, hey, your book's too long, we need to make it shorter, or, you know, your main character's too old, could they be younger? So they help you get your book and your manuscript and your dummy, which is like all your sketches for your book, in good shape before they go out to all the publishing houses and talk to editors.
Okay. And I know, so I do listen to a few podcasts that are about writing books and stuff. So me, like I said, I'm passing fancy and I'm just trying to make sure I'm in the know when I'm trying to, you know, so if there's some new thing out there or something to try, I'm like, I'll give that a try. Cause me, I'm just like, just for the experience, I do it. I don't necessarily, like I said, I'm not looking to be published, but there's some that I listen to and a lot of what they talk about are just Kickstart launches. Have you ever talk to people about that or thought about it, or is that something you're not even interested in doing? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it really depends on someone's individual goals. Mm-hmm. I think that if you have a book or a project that you've made and you really want to get it out there in the world, that could be like a great start. I think for me, because like I want this to be my career for the rest of my life, I really just want to go that more traditional route where I get an agent and then like work with publishing companies.
Okay. All right, hold on. Let me ask you this then. Now I just realized there was another thing that I know is part of the process, but I never ask, how do you do that? Finding an agent. How do you go about doing that? I guess it never occurred to me. Like, do you just contact someone? Do you get a reference? Like, how do you find an agent that wants to work with you?
Yeah, there's tons of agents out there. I kind of started the process the same way, where I would just Google, like, the first way that I started figuring out what agents I would want to work with was I looked up who my favorite picture book authors and illustrators were, who they were represented by.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, then I knew like, for example, like Christian Robinson, John Clausen, Sean Harris, they're all represented by one agent, Stephen Mall at Writer's House. He has like the most amazing client list. But there's tons of awesome agents out there. So that was kind of how I started building up my list of who would I want to be represented by. But then you have to query them. Mm-hmm. So you send them like your dummy of your book with like a proposal. And then, you know, sometimes they respond and most often you don't hear anything. But I did some of that last spring. And then when I went to that conference, I realized that I wasn't like quite ready. Like I started querying before I was really ready to be querying.
Yeah.
And so I've just been like plodding along.
I thought you said plotting, like, you know, plotting.
No.
Like, yes.
Some plotting and plotting.
Okay.
Actually like a month ago, I think you had asked if I could do the podcast in February and I couldn't because I went to a children's writing workshop in Monterey, California.
Nice.
And so I learned a lot more there too, which I'm like now kind of putting into play.
Okay.
I kind of switched gears again. I have been working on one project and realized that I was getting, when I was sharing this other project in critique groups, it just was getting like a much better response from everyone. But like the other authors and the agent, like they just seemed more into it. So
okay,
I started working on that since I got back.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
And now one more thing I want to ask you about, you also on your website have a link to your Etsy shop where you're selling prints. Tell me about the prints that you're selling and how you're choosing what to sell as prints. Are they created just specifically for selling as prints or are they from things? Tell me about the store.
Yeah. Most of the stuff on the store is just kind of standalone things that I've done for my portfolio that I either had positive response on Instagram, or stuff that I think would sell well. So I wanted to get something in place, but I haven't put a lot of my time into like pushing that or like promoting it a lot. But it seemed like a good idea to start making some money from that on the side.
Yeah. Are you doing the prints yourself or are they print on demands? How are you doing the prints?
Yeah, I'm doing print on demand. There's Picture Salon on Odana Road.
Oh.
Like lovely prints. And so they're like fairly affordable and they do a great job. The prints are beautiful. So
I don't know if I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, when I started like researching just in general, I know some people like get their prints, you know, printed somewhere else and then mailed to them.
Mm-hmm.
Picture Salon was one of the places that came up like as being on like different websites, like nationally recommended print shops. And it just so happens it's here in Madison.
Okay.
Which is super convenient because if I want to get like five things printed, it's, you know, I can just drive over there a few days after I order it.
I can't even picture where that is. Now, you know what? This is sounding very familiar. I think last week I had a similar conversation about someone getting printed too. And now I'm going to be embarrassed if it's the exact same place they talked about. And I'm going, I've never heard of that. But you said it's on Odana and that made me think, oh, is that what the person last week said?
It's
cool.
Like a random like little strip mall.
Yeah. As Odana Road is. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, of course. There's lots of those.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say Odana is whatever the language is for strip mall. It's like, that's what it translates into. So no, that's interesting. That's great. And so you're saying you just started this Etsy shop and started selling these prints.
Yeah, I started it kind of like the middle of fall and like did like an initial push to kind of like, I was promoting it a lot on Instagram, but
okay.
Since I've been working on other projects, I've just been letting it sit there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
As the way things go.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of my mental plan is that when I finish this like new book proposal and start querying it again, that I could switch gears at that point and maybe like make some stuff specifically for the
Okay.
editor shop. But I think because this is my like long-term goal is to, get a publishing deal and to make books, I like try to focus more on that and have the Etsy shop be secondary at this point.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And is there any things in the future or things coming up or just stuff you'd like people to know about before we leave today?
Instagram's the main place that I've been like actively sharing my artwork, and when I eventually get a book deal, I will share it there.
I like that. I like the positivity when I get it. That's good.
Well, I think like a lot of art is just like doing something long, like if you're able, if you have the time, and space to create art for long enough, you can usually like reach whatever goal you have. It can be take a while. Like it could be years before this happens, but
Right.
hopefully less than that. I've been like
Yes.
kind of trying to make this shift for a while. And I feel like I finally have like all the not like I have more knowledge of the industry and like what I should be doing.
Yeah. And if people wanted to check out your work, where would they go do that?
Yeah, you can check it out on my Instagram, which is Evie Richner Illustration, or on my website, which is eviewaltillrichner.com.
Right. And thank you so much for talking with me today. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom.